Shalom, this is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy, hosting today's Remnant Mama Show, where we are living and learning a restoration lifestyle. Today I have a special guest with us who is a Remnant Mama and a Remnant Grandmother, and her name is Mrs. Noah from ChildrenAreForever.com. Mrs. Noah is also known as Anita Cannon Dalby. Mrs. Noah, how are you?
I am doing great, Nita. How are you?
Great. Awesome. Well, we're going to have you tell us all about who Mrs. Noah is, the character, but can we talk a little bit about how you crossed over into the Hebrew roots?
Ooh, that's kind of exciting. You know, when I was 9 years old, I had to memorize the Ten Commandments. So I went to my mom and I said, Mom, why do we go to church on Sunday? That started it for me. From then on, my mother was single, and she dated a Jewish man for a little bit, and I loved him, and I was very aware of the Sabbath. Then the church that we had rented out the basement to some Seventh-day Adventists, and I got the advantage of seeing Seventh-day Adventist material. So the Sabbath was not a question for me. When I got to be older, my grandfather died, and I got his book, The Great Controversy. Granted, it was by Ellen G. White, but I read it, and that just cemented it for me. So when we started looking for a church, we discovered a church called Worldwide Church of God. Many of you may have heard of it. They were the only ones we found that taught and kept the holy days, the Sabbath, clean and unclean meats, which we could prove, and they helped us with that in the scriptures, were very valid. That began, and many years in that church, seeing issues and problems, I saw there was no program for children. They had an artist who wrote a book, The Bible Story, Basil Wolverton, who's a caricature artist actually for Mad Magazine. I hated his artwork. I just hated it. I'd read the stories to my children, but it was awful. I mean, they were gruesome things. And so I always wanted to write and illustrate, because I'm an artist, stories for children. As time went on, I started finding out about Torah. We started studying in a homeschool church. But after creating Mrs. Noah, which I did there in the church, one minister was just very, very supportive. He realized what I was saying when I said, look at our children. We're losing our children. They sit in Sabbath every week. They fold their hands. And then when they grow up, they leave. Very blessed to have one son that hung in, and he's still a Sabbath keeper. My oldest daughter has come back to the Sabbath. I have six children, Nitza, 5 girls and 1 boy, 10 grandchildren, 5 great-grandchildren. So I have a big family, which is what I always wanted.
So you're a great-grandmother.
I am a great-grandmother. Oh, I tease everybody, you know, because I don't look like a great-grandmother, but, you know, but I have a lot of fun with it, you know. I've got some great kids.
So your ministry and website is Children Are Forever, correct?
Correct. We are. We're children, and we're forever. That's the way Father designed it. And we've got to train. We've got to teach. We can't just take this lightly. This is an important journey. This time in history, I mean, look at it, Nitza. This is the most amazing time. Every day I watch things happening. Watch the deception. Watch the corruption. Blows me away. We've got to actively be working, like Ephesians 6:10 says. We've got to actively work to do the job Father's given to us. We can't just sit around and go to church once a week and maybe pick up the Bible here or there. This is important stuff right now.
Amen. Okay, so just before we go any farther, your website is Children Are Forever, and you spell R, A-R-E.
A-R-E.
So ChildrenAreForever.com. So if people want more information, they can go there and they can refer to some of this information that we're going to be talking about. So you came into the Hebrew roots pretty much gradually because the foundation was being laid for you. And so how long has it been since you actually feel like you really crossed over?
Wow, that's a good question. Crossing over. I mean, I was 18 years old when I started keeping the Feast of Tabernacles and tossed out Christmas and the pagan stuff. It's just been an awesome journey.
What about acknowledging or understanding that you are Israel?
Oh, that they taught too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. We believe that Ephraim and Manasseh were given the promises, and they were lost, and they are lost. They don't know who they are, but you look at the promises given to them and look in the world to see where those promises were fulfilled. That, I always loved the Bible, even when I was a little girl, but that knowledge of who we are inspired me and excited me so much, because to realize we are the fulfillment. Father makes a commitment. He stands by that commitment. He doesn't walk away. People think, oh, the Old Testament, well, nice stories, or isn't that interesting? But no, no, that is our roots. That's where we came from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and we're living the promises that he gave to them. You get me started on it. I get very excited about this stuff. Actually, Hannah and Max, this week's story, the Torah portion that I'm just finishing up, Hannah and Max are coming into Hebron and seeing the gate where and then they're going to watch as Abraham makes this commitment and purchases the field of his wife's burial. And I was there a few years ago, and standing right there, it's just an awesome experience to realize this is alive in us still.
Awesome. So Hannah and Max are two puppet characters, correct?
They are. They are. All amazingly right. So. They're real. They're okay. real puppets.
Okay. So let's go back and let's talk about, when was Mrs. Noah created? Your real name is Anita Jerry Cannon Dolby, right? Or Anita Dolby, to make it short. Some people call you AJ. And so you're called Mrs. Noah by most people, is that correct?
Yes, that name has stuck. Even my grandchildren are starting to. Once they became aware, they saw the little dance that we did at Sukkot this year. I showed them the film of it, and they looked at me, and they looked at the Mrs. Noah, and they said, Grandma, that's you. And so, my little girl, granddaughter, Jessica, just turned 5, and she's got to know how to spell Mrs. Noah. So, yeah, that's a pretty heavy name.
Well, I have to tell you, when we were at Sukkot and my sons met you this year, this past Sukkot, at night when they came to the room, they kept saying, we can't find Mrs. AJ, but she looks very much like Mrs. Noah. And they were having this argument over how the other one looked. And I was like, I just thought to myself, I bet they're the same person. Anyway, and then when I finally told them it was, they still didn't believe me. So it was really funny.
Well, years ago when I first became Mrs. Noah, I was younger in those days, and I had dark brown hair, and I had to draw wrinkles on my face. I had to put a wig on, cover my head, and all those things. So I do dress up in a costume, and I have a staff, and the kids, it just makes it more fun for the kids. The puppets talk to them. They love the puppets. I have a variety of them, but Hannah's the main one. But now, 25 years later, I don't have to put a wig on anymore, and I have to cover up the wrinkles and try to, anyway, it's getting harder and harder to do, but it does make it fun. The kids have a little game to find out who Mrs. Noah is, or where she is, or who Miss AJ, that it's just fun.
Okay, so you started this over 20 years ago, correct?
Correct. Church of God International, which was an offshoot of the Worldwide, and there was nothing for kids. This one woman was a teacher, and so she had the kids come up in the room, sit there at the table, just like they were in a classroom, and she would spend 45 minutes with them and then send them downstairs where they sat in services with their parents for 2 hours. And I said, wait a minute, where's the fun? And I began to realize, parents have the children 6 days a week. 300, every year they've got the kids. Mrs. Noah's job is not necessarily to teach, although I do it constantly, but it's to have the joy of the Sabbath, the joy of the holy days. It's something the Father has given to us, a joy that so many people don't have. And that's what I've tried to bring to the kids. Fun, looking forward to, and excitement.
You know, you give me a different perspective. I, as a homeschool parent, one of the things that a lot of us take really to heart is that it's our job to train our children. Not that we don't want anyone else to give our children fun and joy, because I personally need that, because that's not my forte. You know, so that's kind of been an age-old problem when you go to the buildings is, do you have do you make the children sit and listen with the adults, or do you take the children off? You know what I mean? There's that whole thing about how do we balance that with parents taking responsibility? Because a lot of parents, in my opinion, dealing with hundreds of them in the church and in the homeschool movement, really don't train their children in the scriptures. They let the church do that. They let the Sunday school or the Torah teacher do that. I think that a lot of homeschoolers and Torah families are much more into that. But as a whole, especially with Christians, I don't think that's something we see very much of.
Nitza, I think this is a good conversation to have because this is something I struggle with also. There was value in my children sitting there with their hands folded or their color book or something like that. There was value there. However, there was loss. I found that the children sitting in services, just because they're there doesn't mean they're learning what you think they're learning. I found out too late that my children were hearing things that just wasn't true. When Dawn, my acupuncture girl, sorry, but she was my kid's age, so she was raised in the same church, and she told me that she used to come away shaking because she was so scared of the burning in hell and all that, and I told her that's not true. We didn't teach that. It's just not something we believed. When you die, you're dead until the resurrection, third resurrection, going into the lake of fire for those, but as far as them teaching it every week, the hell and brimstone stuff, it wasn't a part of our belief system. So it's amazing what children do pick up in pieces. So parents need to really pay attention to what their children understand about their beliefs, because they are picking up stuff. A minister might quote one scripture, and then the child picks that up and without putting it together with the rest of the sermon. So we have to be careful about what our children hear. So when I take the kids and play with them and do puppets with them, I like to know what is being taught by the minister or teacher. Sometimes people have me come in and work with the children when they're doing a seminar. I take the kids, but like when Gary Tunsky was teaching about health and nutrition and diet, I went right along with him and did a program with the kids. I just blew them away because it was Hanukkah, and I already purchased a bunch of candy because you're supposed to have candy at Hanukkah, right?
Well, right.
So I couldn't give them all this candy as rewards after Gary Tunsky's up there telling their parents how bad the stuff is for them. So I did a Hanukkah thing and had the Maccabees clean up the junk and get out all the garbage that was killing the people, the pagan stuff, and I used the candy as an example. And I had the kids picking it up and putting it in the trash, and they couldn't believe I really was going to throw away that candy, but we threw it away.
Please come back and join us right after this short message. Are you looking for that unique gift to give that special woman or expectant mother in your life? Whether she is becoming a young lady in her childbearing years or approaching her golden years, she will be sure to love the Midwifery and Womanhood Chest No. 3 by Remnant Remedy. Save money when you purchase the Midwifery and Womanhood Chest, which includes 10 essential oil blends specifically targeted for women and the special times in their lives. This will also help support their babies. Plus, you will receive a free carrying case and a free bottle of rose blend or cucumber seed oil. The blends in this kit help support childbirth, including labor pains, milk production, stretch marks, postnatal depression, circumcision, and umbilical cord healing, diaper rash, eczema, menses, PMS, hot flashes, blood pressure, scars, wrinkles, and even sunburns and insect bites. The Midwifery and Womanhood Chest will be a gift for that special woman that will bless her and her family with each use. For more information, go to the Hebrew Nation Radio Store and click on Remnant Remedy, and then click on Remnant Remedy Chest Kits. Your purchase helps support the health of that special woman in your life and this radio station ministry. Welcome back. This is Nitza Moshe on the Remnant Mama Show as we are interviewing Mrs. Noah.
That's awesome, because if you're looking at the body as a living stone's tabernacle, you know, that is junk that we're taking in and candy. And, you know, that really hit me this Hanukkah again was, you know, we're really not want to focus on this candy and have this fake candy around when we're trying to get them to be healthy.
I know. So I brought out grapes and oranges and bananas and healthy things. And then the rest of the days we were together, I really focused on healthy things. Even the craft we did an edible craft. And I used flour tortilla and cream cheese and bananas and peanuts and, you know, various things that they could choose from as they created an art object with their food.
Awesome. Okay. So anyway, you know, those are just things that we need to, I think it's great that we have people with your giftings and your talents, because it is so much needed, and it's needed to help us with our children. But I just, you know, also want to say that it doesn't replace it. And I know that you know that, but parents that are listening need to really understand that, number one, they're commanded in Deuteronomy, you know, from the moment they get up to when they walk throughout the day to when they lay down at night, that they're supposed to be living an example and sharing and teaching that word to their children, that they can't just delegate it and send them off to school, you know, whether it's public school, Christian school, whatever it is, or, you know, even homeschool, throw them in the corner and say, you know, you're going to miss the most important part while, you know, the children aren't really learning or ingesting what's going on. You know, and I can say this to be totally truthful and upfront as a homeschooler and a person who, you know, loves to teach and study the scriptures, I oftentimes have to catch myself and go, what are my children learning? I mean, I'm being fed because I love to study and dig, but, you know, is it just me living it out good enough for my children, or what is it that I have to do to make them study so that this becomes something that is theirs that I actually have to work hard at to impart to them? And that's, you know, my unction is to the parents out there, look at what it is you're doing. We need Mrs. Noah's. We need the tools. We need the things that you have. And it's a wonderful blessing to be able to take our children to a youth camp or a Sukkot and know that we have someone, you know, like you, who's coming alongside and is going to add and enhance and make it fun. But, you know, it doesn't take away our responsibility and our duty.
Well, you know, as you're, I know you're aware of, Anita, as a homeschool mother, that everything you do can be a lesson. When I make puppets with the kids, when I make sock puppets, when I put the stuffing in the puppets, I talk to them about what goes inside of us. And I'll talk about putting dirt, and maybe I'll even mix some in with some of the fiberfill. And is this what you want in your puppet? Or we'll make a little menorah or a scroll and put that inside so the kids know that the Ten Commandments are buried in their puppet like we want them to be in us. I mean, every day I find the most awesome gifts of giving to the children while we're painting, while we're creating something, our imagination. You know, I had people have a problem with my using imagination, and then they, wait a minute, didn't Yeshua tell stories too? To show illustrations and stuff like that. But our imagination is something we use every day. And the biggest thing we use it for is to worry. Why not teach the kids, you know, really?
Imagination, worry. Yeah, that's an awesome point.
So if we teach our children to use their imagination to create in their minds God's word, the stories, the events, the possibilities. One of the songs I wrote, every morning when you wake up, the first thing that you do is choose an attitude to play with, happy, sad, or blue. I love that song. And I have kids come to me all the time and tell me they've learned it from the CD that we did. But it's true. We choose. We make choices every day on how we're going to think, if we're going to love, if we're going to, you know what I'm talking about. It's an exciting adventure, but we do make choices.
Well, I think that's a wonderful thing, back to what you were doing. Uh-huh. You know, and a lot of us aren't trained to think that way. But like what you were talking about with when you're making the sock, you know, what are you putting in it? And I think that's part of when we as parents are responsible in renewing our minds with the word, and then we look for ways so that everything we do throughout the day, we're seeing Father's word at work. You know, whether we're pulling weeds in the garden or dealing with animals or whatever we're doing with the children, to begin to see his kingdom and his principles are in everything, and trying to show the children that. And I think that's why you are such a wonderful gift, and anybody ever gets the chance, they need to go somewhere where Mrs. Noah is. Let's talk a little bit about the books that you have.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first one that I wrote was Hardy Goes Home. It started out to be a series, but when the first chapter was going to be just a little booklet, and people came to me after they read it and said, wait a minute, you can't leave that little dog in the dog pound. Because that's what happened. He got in trouble and ended up in the dog pound. And the next book was going to go on from there. Kind of like my son, I write every week. Almost all the time, I leave a cliffhanger. If you noticed, Max is in trouble. He fell off the side of a cliff. Something happens every week. I grew up in that era where it was a weekly thing. The movies, we'd run to the movies and see Gene Autry and Roy Rogers and stuff like that. And we always had to go back the next week and see what happened. Kind of a lot like I write like that a lot. I like that. But Hardy Goes Home is really our story. I literally, when I was writing the part where Hardy is lost in the snow, he's repenting, he wants to go back, he's laying there in the snow, and he's going to sleep, and the man in the blue suit reaches down and picks him up out of the snow and wraps him in a red blanket. I mean, there's so many symbolic things in the story, but I crossed there my desk crying as he was rescued. Just recently added a new chapter to it where it goes on to take them into the millennium where everything is renewed and happy and they all follow the rules. And so it's fine. It was a fun book to illustrate. It was a fun book to write.
Now, and this is, I think, something important to point out to parents that are listening or even teachers that want to use these materials with their Sabbath groups or study groups, is that your material is Torah-based, correct?
Correct.
But it's not just Torah-based. It's about the Hebrew nation and Yahuwah's people being restored to the kingdom.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
not something, you know, that we can just go pick up anywhere. And so.
Well, the Little Chicken book, mm-hmm. Casey, The Little Chicken That Could, read it in a magazine. Somebody came, brought it to me, A Little Chicken That Lost Its Feet. And so the journey to helping that little chicken, I mean, there's so many things. Mrs. Noah's in that one, and she talks about the history of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and how the nations were formed and what happened to the lost tribes. It's an everything book. It's got the Sabbath. It talks a little bit about God's name. And by the way, Nitza, I don't teach doctrine. I bring up subjects because my stories are family stories. They're not children's stories. You don't hand this to a 6 or 7 year old and say, look at the pictures and read the story. There's scriptures all through everything I do. And it's either in the story or it's in the back of the book. But there's scriptures. We need to know what we know. And just like you said before, the children need to own it, not just have their parents tell them about it, want to see it themselves. That's why the Yanomian Project is so exciting to me, because children need to see and understand and know it, believe it, not because mom said it. A lot of times the kids go through a rebellious stage, and they don't want to do what their parents say. They don't want to listen and follow what their parents are doing. They've got to cut their own trail. But if they cut the trail, if they see the proof, Brad Scott was at the youth camp this last summer, and he was awesome. I mean, he was talking to the kids about evolution. They have proved evolution is impossible, yet they're still teaching it in the schools. Duh, ha, wait a minute. What's going on here? What else are they teaching? Kids need to see that and know they're not getting the truth, and they've got to find it themselves.
Amen. So now let's just back up a little bit. So you actually, if people want to subscribe, they can get a weekly Torah portion geared towards the children, correct?
Correct.
And they can get that at your website. And then you also have, go ahead.
Now, the plans are to put a story on every week that will be current. We do not have that in place. Hopefully within the next couple weeks, we will. If they're interested in receiving a weekly story, they can email me. Okay. And I will put them on my mailing list. I have 1 week, every week I send out a stories, but one of them is the 1 year Torah cycle and the other is the 3 year Torah cycle. Very frankly, the 3 year has more stories, more information, obviously, but everyone's on a different 3 year cycle. So it's been real hard to manage that one. You know what I mean? Some started last year, some started this year, but it is a wonderful story base. I like the 3 year a lot. I like them both. It's fun. They're
right.
Different.
Now, and then you have 5 books, the 5 Torah books.
Mm-hmm.
You have basically storybook kind of workbooks, mostly stories, to go to enhance the Torah portion reading
right.
for your family. And so the reason, like, for instance, I like these is we read, of course, the scriptures together, but going to your Torah portion books that you basically have created here, the reason I really like them is because they have other information. It's not just the Torah portion being repeated, but again, it's embracing the whole concept that we are Israel, where we came from, where we're going. It's about the restoration. You sometimes even talk about maybe, you know, the name, what his name is, and you bring up all these ideas with your characters and your puppet characters and your stories.
Mm-hmm. And they can argue, Cecil thinks there's, you know, we already have enough holidays, we don't need new holy days. And Cecil's a little mouse, and he's usually pretty ornery. Max is pretty ornery. This week, I thought it was kind of interesting because they talk about the history. Max burns his finger with playing with matches that were left over from Hanukkah. It's just fun. And it does not replace the Torah teaching. It, like you said, it augments it. Sometimes I'll have a craft, a coloring page, something for them to do, a song I'll stick in that will go along with what the parents are learning. And that's, I think, important because the family needs to be doing things together, not separately.
Our time has run out today. We will continue our interview with Mrs. Noah in part two. So join us next week. May your garments always be white and your head lack no shimmin. Shalom.
There's no time for my bride to postpone. Garments of linen gotta be sewn. Learn how to make healing oils on your own. Grinding wheat and storing food.